Hey, you could say we tried. It's the Business News Hour for Tuesday, the 11th of December. Thanks for being with us, everybody. The Dow erased gains of 360 points in late trading today. We'll share what happened and why. Google CEO, he was in D.C. today, and that was quite a show. Also, Firefox launched new tools today. We'll share what those are. Pacific Gas and Electric faces trouble from consumers about advertising. So if you have to terminate an employee, should you do it now or wait until after the holiday? Some thoughts on that. Open hostility in the Oval Office today impacted the markets. Also today, we're back on the story about technology in rural America with co-founder of LinkedIn, Alan Blue. And in for the interview, we'll visit with professional speaker Karen McCullough about the business of professional speaking. So much coming up today. Strap in. That Business News is next.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AURION.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. Remax Concepts, realestateconcepts.net. The Business News is next.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could just switch off your HR issues? Then you wouldn't have to deal with payroll, benefits, onboarding, or compliance. Instead, you could focus on growing and improving your business. Well, Arion is that switch. Arion provides attractive and competitive benefits, mitigates employer risks, manages a wide variety of HR transactions, and stays on top of ever-changing employment regulations so you don't have to. Flip the switch and visit AURION to get started.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tero International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tero. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals, news and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Hour. Grateful that you clicked through, everybody. Thanks so very much. Hey, you want to reach out to us on Twitter? You can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled, by the way, LIBBIE. Well, what looked to be a promising day on Wall Street crumbled in the final hours of trading as the Dow, which had been up by over 360 points, came crashing back into negative territory by 2 p.m. Central and then, miraculously, started to go back up, at one point hitting a plus 125. But then, by the bell, the Dow came crashing back down, off by 53 points. What was going on? Conflicting reports regarding China, worries over Brexit, and the global economy has slowed the markets today, not to mention that very public spat in the Oval Office, which we will cover just a little bit later in the broadcast. We'll have those numbers, by the way, in just a bit. Well, it was quite a show today in Washington, D.C., as Google CEO Sundar Pichai was asked about privacy, data collection, China, Russia, and especially political bias. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy opened the House Judiciary Committee hearing by noting, quote, a widening gap of distrust, end quote, between tech companies and the American people. He asked whether tech companies are serving as instruments of freedom or instruments of control. He also expressed concern that Google's business practices may have been influenced by employees' political bias against conservatives. Well, meanwhile, Representative Gerald Nadler of New York, the committee's top Democrat, called the notion of bias a delusion and a right-wing conspiracy theory. Nadler says today's hearing is the committee's fourth one to address political bias in the past year. That seemed to be hinting at a new agenda under Democratic control. Nadler said that lawmakers should instead examine issues such as the spread of misinformation and Russia's efforts to influence U.S. elections online. Well, starting today, Firefox will nudge you to try new options designed to make the web more interesting, more useful, or more productive. Mozilla's new Firefox 64 keeps an eye on what you're up to and prompts you to try extensions and features that could help you with that activity. For example, if you open the same tab lots of times, it could suggest you pin it to your tab strip for easier future access. Other suggestions include installing the Facebook Container extension to curtail the social network's snooping, a Google Translate extension to tap into Google's service, and the Enhancer for YouTube. That's an extension to do things like block ads and control playback on Google's video site. The feature could help you customize Firefox for more to your liking, something that could help you stick with the browser in the face of Google Chrome's dominance. And that, in turn, could help Mozilla pursue its push toward a privacy-respecting web that's not just effectively controlled by Chrome. Now you know. Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E, has been accused of putting its reputation above public safety. That's in a lawsuit that says the power company spends too much on advertising and not enough on preventing devastating Northern California wildfires like the blaze that destroyed the town of Paradise last month. While the cause of the Camp Fire fire remains undetermined, residents allege in a complaint filed yesterday that the utility's dysfunctional risk assessment methodologies have failed to improve even after fires in Calvinus County in 2015 and in Wine Country north of San Francisco last year, all linked by investigators to PG&E's equipment. The Camp Fire, the deadliest and most destructive in California history, has put the company under intense scrutiny. Residents who lost loved ones and homes have filed lawsuits blaming its power lines for starting the fire. A spokesperson for the utility said they are aware of the lawsuits regarding Camp Fire and consider safety to be of its highest priority. Well, there's an interesting article out today from our friends at The Motley Fool as they take on the sticky question, what if you have to terminate a worker? Do you do it now or wait until the holidays are over? Tough question, right? Well, the answer lies in why the termination is happening at all. If it's a termination because the business needs to reduce workers, the thought is that maybe keeping the person around through the holidays might be the right answer. But if not, attempting to offer some enhanced compensation to make up for the termination during the holiday period. However, if it's for performance, really bad performance, or that the employee committed some grave sin like stealing, combative behavior, or such, you might want to cut your losses sooner than later. If you elect to wait until the new year, it's important that your intentions stay hidden. It's not fair for your employee or employees to spend the holiday season worrying about their job security. When people know layoffs may be coming, it's generally best to make them happen and end the speculation. Now, if you choose to terminate the person, explain how you decided it would be better for them to have a jump on the new hiring season in January, and letting somebody go before the holidays may affect their spending, which could help if the person is out of work for a long period of time. Whether you let someone go before or after the holidays, make it very clear by your words what you're doing. Don't leave room for interpretation, but do be as compassionate as you can. Which all reminds me about the time I was fired from a broadcasting job years, decades in fact, years ago. I was called in at 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve and told to pack up. No, really. The end result? I went on to another station, and within the year, we beat them in the ratings. So careful what you do out there. If you like roller coasters, you had plenty to love today on Wall Street. Stocks closed mostly down again today, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average losing 53 points. Earlier in the day, the blue chips had gained 360 points, and it looked like the day would be positive. But then, in afternoon trading, the bears returned, and the Dow fell, and at one time was negative by over 200 points. It finished down by 0.2% to end the day at 24,370. The NASDAQ gained 11 points to end at 70,31, and the S&P 500 was off by nearly a tenth to close the day at 26,36. Stocks initially rose by more than 1% across the board amid signs that the U.S.-China trade relations could be improving. Folks from the administration were crowing about progress. However, that progress was not necessarily confirmed by Beijing. In other words, we don't know. Also weighing on the markets is Brexit and a very public meeting between soon-to-be House Majority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Democratic Senate Leader Chuck Schumer, and President Trump over the funding of a wall at our southern border. And the president was saying, with the press watching, he would be glad to shut down the government over the wall. It was not a pretty sight. Gold fell again today, off by $2.20 to $1,241.50 an ounce. Crude oil gained 72 cents to $51.72 a barrel, and the 10-year T-note at 2.88%. Well, last week in Jefferson, Iowa, population 4,200, A number of technology giants were there to launch a public-private partnership where local people in roughly 30-mile radius of the city could come together to learn and be trained to work for Silicon Valley companies. One of the speakers was Alan Blue, a co-founder of LinkedIn. I asked him what he meant by his statement that Jefferson could be a lighthouse to the rest of the nation.
So here in Jefferson, they're facing a set of problems and difficulties, which you can find all around the United States. And they're hard problems to solve. People are leaving in order to pursue a livelihood. People are leaving to pursue their dreams, what they want to work on. If that problem can be solved, the community that solves it is going to become a beacon to every other community that's attempting to fix that problem. So this combination of a fascinating, innovative idea in the world of employment and education together, combined with the community colleges, combined with the work of the community, combined with the bonds and the government work in order to make this happen, combined with this statewide effort, it's a powerful combination, which basically hasn't been done before, not to my knowledge. So that combination, when it works, is going to become something that communities all across the United States will want to come here and learn about so they can take it back home and do it themselves.
And there are some major problems to get this thing off the ground. And you indicated that you believe that Jefferson has found ways to solve those, yes?
I think so. I have looked at a lot of solutions all around the world on this. And there are always three things which are necessary to make this work. So the first one is leadership. Someone's got to step up and do it. In a lot of cases, people are hoping someone else will come up with a solution. If you've got somebody who's an innovator or a leader who's going to step up and say, I'm going to take responsibility for this. I'm going to make it happen. You got to have that. Second, you got to have an innovative idea. These are hard problems to solve. You got to try something new. If the solution was already out there, everyone would be doing it. So somebody's got to come up and try something new and try to make it work. But the third thing, and maybe the most important thing, is you can't possibly do it all by yourself. There's no white knight that's going to ride in and make it all happen. You got to have the support of the community, got to have the support of all the employers, the educators, everything in the area, to make it successful. Jefferson has all three of those things.
A final question for you. Alan Blue, ladies and gentlemen, LinkedIn. How important was it for Ro Khanna, Congressman Ro Khanna, to be involved in this effort? He's a friend of the broadcast. We've had him on numerous times to talk about his vision for technology in America. Was that part of the glue that put this together?
So possibly. I'm sure if you asked Ro, he would say, no, I didn't do anything, and so forth. I do think, however, that shining light on this at the beginning of it is key. Ro was able to do that, to be able to get it off to the right start. But the hard work is going to be done by the innovators and the leaders here in Jefferson who are going to make it work. It will live and die, I think it's going to live, by their work. And Ro will be happy to sit back and say, I had a small part in that.
Alan Blue, thanks so very much for spending time with the Business News Hour.
My pleasure.
Once again, that was LinkedIn co-founder Alan Blue during the event to launch The Forge in Jefferson, Iowa. That's a project that has many, many moving parts and many, many partners. We'll continue to monitor the progress of this technology and education hub as they get closer to their opening, slated for June of 2019. Stay with us. Coming up next for the interview, we'll chat on our newsmaker line with professional public speaker Karen McCullough from Houston, Texas. We're going to talk about the business of being a professional speaker, and she'll offer some tips and thoughts for those of you considering the field, because, as you'll find out, it is a business. Thanks for being with us. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.